If you have your Bibles this morning, please open them up with me to the book of John, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to look at just a couple of verses to start us off with today. Starting in verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for all of those that are hearing this message. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage their hearts and their minds. I pray, Lord, that you would use this message to help them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us your truths this year. I pray, Lord God, that as we approach this year, let it be a year for new beginnings, for a clean slate, for a new opportunity to serve you, to love you, and to encourage others, and to live with a full heart for you and for your glory, Lord. Let us do something meaningful this year for you, Lord Jesus, and help us not to forget the sacrifices that you have made for us to be here this very day. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Today we are going to be talking about two subject matters that interconnect with each other: loving others and loving ourselves. Now let's begin with loving others. Now this year we have a new outreach focus called Love One Another. And the theme verses are John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Now in the past, we have visited outreach opportunities during selected dates on the calendar. But this year, we are introducing a monthly focus on loving and caring for those around us. Now, in our passage today, Jesus reminds us that as we love and care for each other, even as we pray for each other and forgive each other, those in the world around us will see something different about us, and we will be identified as disciples of Christ because we have love for others. And not just the people that everyone else loves. Remember, Jesus called us to love our enemies, to do good to those who even persecute you. Now, this is not the kind of love that the world promotes. This is a supernatural love. Now, in the Bible, there are about 40 different verses that call on us specifically to love one another. Now, on top of these verses, there are many, many more that identify how we should care for and love our fellow man. Now, each month we will have a verse connected to love one another, a verse that we will be working on reciting each week to get more familiar with, and we will have a challenge connected to that verse. For instance, this month's passage is James chapter 5 and verse 16, which says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now, this verse is fairly self-explanatory. Confessing our trespasses is not confessing our sins. It is confessing the transgressions that we have made against each other. Now, sometimes this is about hate or anger or even bitterness that we might hold against someone else. Sometimes this is frustration or a way of thinking that puts our focus on a level more important than our brother or sister in the Lord. I recently read a quote that said, "You can't stay offended when you are praying for the offender." Now, it is true that when we pray with a godly focus out of humility for the one who offended us, we let go of our anger, frustration, and bitterness, and instead really genuinely want God's blessings and growth for their lives. Now, normally when we see this verse used in support of other contexts, you really only see the last half of the verse about the effective prayer. But the whole verse has a good strong context for how we should be helping each other. Now let's talk about this last portion for just a moment. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, effective means successful in producing a desire or intended result. Fervent means a passionate intensity. It is to be expected that the righteous person is going to have effective prayers because they would be in the practice of praying and learning how to have more effective prayers through scripture study and practice. Righteousness comes through great effort, and fervent prayer is part of that effort. Now, this last word avails. In the King James, it says availeth. I think of this word as accomplishes. Now, the prayers of the righteous accomplishes much, but the word actually means more than that. It gives this idea that there is a great power in the prayers of the righteous person. Now, think about it. Why do people come to the church for prayer? Some of it might be the perception that other religions and stories give to the church building about it being a holy place. But when people come to a church and ask for prayer, they are seeking someone inside the building to pray for them. But why do they come here? Why not seek at the community center or the grocery store? I had a man knock on my door last week. I opened the door and he said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I need prayer." And he gave me a list of the spiritual struggles that he was having. So I prayed for him. He thanked me, and then he left. Now, people go where they know that Christians will be because the fervent prayer of a righteous person gets things accomplished. And we know that the struggle for the Christian is righteousness. But a focused Christian will want to make changes in their lives so that they can let go of more of the world and embrace more righteousness. I saw this great quote on social media this week. It said, "We must allow the Word of God to correct us the same way we allow it to encourage us." Let me say that one more time. We must allow the Word of God to correct us the same way we allow it to encourage us. Now, I think sometimes for Christians, we are offended even when other Christians encourage us to change, to be more like what the Bible instructs us to be, as we're supposed to be righteous. Now, we like the Bible giving us encouragement. But when the suggestion of change comes on, all too often we push back, assuming that we are good enough. But Christian, we will never be good enough. We have a lifetime of change to work on, becoming more and more like Christ. And that won't happen when we are sitting comfortable in our own version of Christianity. When we feel like we're comfortable in our Christianity, like we're good enough, guess what? That's a false idea that Satan is allowing us to have. That's what the enemy wants us to think. Because if we're comfortable, we're going to stop growing. When we're comfortable, we do not grow. We are not changing, and we are not becoming more righteous. In fact, our lives will become more and more stagnant. But our lives will not be changed for the Lord until we press on, until we press forward for the prize, until we push on and demand that we need to continue to change to be more righteous for God's glory. We need to allow the Bible to correct us and to show us where we're wrong so that we can become much more like Christ. Now let's read out loud our verse for the month to get a little more comfortable with it. Again, James chapter 5, verse 16, say it along with me. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Let's say that one more time. James chapter 5 and verse 16. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now, this month's challenge is to pray and encourage each other. And as you have opportunity to pray for someone, we have these prayer bracelets for you to give out that simply say, "I prayed for you." Now, there are many different ways that you can approach this subject. For instance, if you're in a restaurant, you ask your waiter or waitress if they need prayer for anything because you're going to pray for your food. And then you pray for them. Give them a bracelet. You pray for a friend or family member, even on the phone. If you know their address, you stick a bracelet in an envelope and you send it off to them. If you're praying with a coworker, you hand them a bracelet. Now, don't hand someone a bracelet if you have not prayed for them. Try your best to pray in the presence of that person for them before giving them a bracelet. Now, Tracy and I were wearing these t-shirts we had made up a couple years ago that say prayer works. And we have on occasion been stopped by people asking us for prayer. And a cashier ran up to us one time in a store as we were leaving, and she asked us for prayer. And we said, okay, can we step aside real quick with you and pray with you? And she's like, no, I don't have time right now. I'm in the middle of work and I can't get off on a break, but please pray for me regarding these things. And so we may not always have the opportunity to pray directly in front of people. We may not always have the opportunity to pray directly with them, but we can be praying for them. And people need prayer. People don't always express the need for prayer, but everyone needs prayer. And many welcome prayer support from Christians. Now we're going to start with one bracelet. And pray that the Lord gives you people that you can pray for. Next week, come back and tell us your experience with praying for other people. Now, let's try our verse of the month one more time. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. All right, now that we have covered loving one another, let us consider ways that we can love on ourselves. Now, at the beginning of a new year, it's like we have a clean slate and we consider new beginnings. New Year's commitments don't work because they do not tend to last. Anything that is built on an idea or a wish does not tend to have any longevity connected with it. Only when we have the back of God's word and a commitment to him do we have something that lasts. Now, I believe that throughout the year, we tend to get caught up in the world and its practices. We take on too much weight of the world, and the consideration of the new year gets us in a place to let go of the extra weight. We need to remember that we have to let go of the weight. We are already unshackled from our sins when we accept the Lord as our own Lord and personal Savior. He unshackles us from those sins. We don't have to be stuck to them anymore. We have the opportunity to embrace what is new and what is good for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, yearly, we have a memorization challenge called the Faith Race. We have it listed on our website as well as on the back wall. Now, the purpose of the Faith Race is to whet your appetite for memorizing Scripture. Now, as you meditate and learn to apply the passages provided for you, there is inevitably other passages that the Holy Spirit will guide you to learn. But this will get you started and help you learn how to meditate and memorize key verses for the Christian life. And you will be participating with others who are working towards these same goals. Every year, the run begins with the theme passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Personally, the Lord has sent me back to this passage so many times in the last few years because the passage is about disciplining yourself, and we can all use more discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, the Apostle Paul encourages believers to look at your life as a race that you are running to achieve the prize at the end. He says, don't just run it to get your participation award. But run it hard. Run it with purpose. Run it in such a way that you will receive the prize. Now, what does it take to discipline our bodies? Well, the word race in Faith Race is an acronym, R-A-C-E. R stands for resolve, A stands for acquire, C stands for condition, and E stands for endure. Now we have this new clean slate going into a new year. We have the opportunity to do things different, to even do things better than before, but the only way that we are going to achieve any of our goals is if we resolve to keep moving forward even when we do not want to. Now, what do you want to accomplish this year? Do you want to get healthy physically or even spiritually? Do you want to draw closer to the Lord in new ways? Do you want to overcome and even win your spiritual battles? The only way that you will achieve your goals is by giving up the unnecessary bits in your life and determine to not give up. You are making a resolve to follow through regardless of what comes your way. Now, running in such a way to obtain the prize means not giving up, regardless of what others around you are doing. We can resolve to not give up, but in order for us to have success, we also need to acquire the right tools to help us have that success. We need a plan of action. Now, goal setting is great, but if you don't have a plan for how you're going to realistically accomplish those goals, you will fall apart when the going gets tough. And Paul says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, because he has acquired the right tools to help him face the challenges and come out on the other side. Now, with that resolve and with acquiring the right tools to accomplish what is before us, we have to condition ourselves to not give up. In conditioning our bodies, we train ourselves to get through the obstacles. And Paul says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Now, discipline in the Christian life is everything. We will never meditate and memorize God's word without determining to discipline ourselves to do it. Now, there are many that when the going gets tough in their Christian walk, they give up. When things get a little bit hard, even when you're trying to memorize a Bible verse or meditate, it gets a little difficult, they give up. When a trial comes their way and it gets a little tough, they give up. It is through conditioning our bodies and disciplining them that we persevere through the challenges of life. Now, for some, it's easy or much easier to condition their physical bodies than their spiritual bodies. And that is an actual tough challenge, because when you're conditioning your spiritual body, you're fighting against your flesh a lot. You're fighting against the enemy. You're fighting against your mind. There is so much that you are fighting at to try to resolve and get through. But conditioning our spiritual bodies are so much more important than even our physical bodies, because our spiritual bodies are going to be here through eternity. Our physical bodies only last so long. That is why the last letter of race stands for endure. If we want to make lasting decisions that will be impactful in our lives and last longer than 2 weeks, we have to endure through our trials and commit to disciplining ourselves for the long haul, to endure over a long period of time. Now, this last year, I was reading an article about something called habit stacking. And this is when you work on a good habit, and once you achieve it and it's stuck in your life, you add another good habit onto it and so on. And over time, you'll have a lot of good habits laid out. Now, so it is within our Christian life. We won't be able to achieve all of the goals that we want to do overnight because it takes time and discipline to accomplish one thing and then more discipline added on to that to accomplish the next goal. However, it is worth it to discipline ourselves for the sake of growing in the Lord. We will always benefit from a more disciplined life. God wants us to have a disciplined life. If you think about it, as we study Scripture, God wants us to put our time into honoring Him and loving Him and knowing Him. He wants our decisions to be put into the same place. He wants us to obey. He wants us to become more like Him, more righteous. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to have a disciplined life. God wants us to shut off the TV and the distractions of life. And He wants us to focus on Him. Remember, we are not people of this world. We're just visitors. We are simply supposed to be a light to the dark world around us. And the only way that we can maintain that light is through the spiritual discipline of our lives. And that spiritual discipline doesn't stop. We can't take a vacation from it. We can't place it on hold while we take care of other things in our lives to come back to it later. It has to be something that we're growing and we're working on a regular basis. Otherwise, we're going to lose that discipline. Every time that we physically discipline ourselves to do something, when we put it on hold and we come back much later, guess what? We will have forgotten many of those parts of discipline. We will have forgotten maybe exercises that we were doing for a long time. We will have forgotten maybe things that we were applying our mind to in our study time or even at work. When we don't work on those things on a regular basis, it may be a discipline for a while, but when we take a break from it, we forget. And we're very forgetful people as humans. We forget things all the time. We need to stop making excuses for why we can't be spiritually disciplined like God has called us to be. We need to set aside the excuses and look at this year as a new beginning, as a clean slate, as an opportunity to serve God with a whole heart, to love Him with a whole heart, and to work on disciplining ourselves with a whole heart to be more righteous like Christ. Paul says, hey, don't just do your own thing. Follow my teachings. Look at what I've been teaching you, how I've been instructing you. Follow those things because those things will help you. Be encouraged with other Christians around you who are working to have a disciplined life. We're all working to resolve our issues and to resolve to push forward through the problems. We're all working to acquire the tools that we need to have an even more disciplined life. We're all working to condition our bodies and make sure that we are the best that we can be for God's glory, and we're all working to endure through the trials of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that as we approach this year, and as you bless us and encourage us through our lives, I pray, Lord God, that you would give us the strength to be able to push through the obstacles in our lives. I pray that you would help us to condition our bodies so that we are more spiritual for your glory, so that that light within us, as it shines brighter and brighter for you. Lord, I pray that those around us, even this week, would see something different in us by what we say, by what we do, by the choices that we make. I pray, Lord, that we would honor you with our mouth, with the things that we say, with how we bring you glory in the words that we speak, and how we introduce you throughout our lives. I pray, Lord God, that we would bring you honor by the choices that we make, how we choose to honor and love you and to encourage others, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would honor you through the spiritual discipline that we work at to make even better. Help us not to give up, Lord, but to press on, to press forward. I pray, Lord God, that we would be encouragers this year. I pray this month that we would be praying for our other brothers and sisters in Christ, that we'd be praying for other people in our lives as we meet them, Lord. Help us to learn to pray and to pray fervently and to be that righteous person, Lord Jesus. Lord, you've called us not just to pray a lot, to pray fervently, but as James 5:16 reminds us, it's the prayer of the righteous that avails much. Lord God, we need to be that righteous person. Otherwise, we're not going to get anything accomplished in our prayers. I pray, Lord, that you would change us this year to be more like you so that we can be that righteous person. Help us to grow and to keep our focus on you and off of ourselves. And I pray, Lord God, that you would make us more like you this year. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.